On to the next story on your Monday Pack Lunch with Nikki Page. I've got a couple of people in the studio with me. One of them is long and lanky and maybe looking a wee bit tired. Neville, you've just got off your bike on Friday after having ridden from Perth and a part of the Canberra Cavalcade. Just come a wee bit closer to the mic there, Neville.
Yep.
Good. That's right. Terrific.
And so I'm a wee bit tired.
He's a wee bit tired. Neville was saying off mic that he didn't anticipate how much he was going to have to really concentrate riding on that road. And having driven on that road, I'm glad you did concentrate, because you have to have your wits around you really time you're on that road. Yeah. And Neville is part of Grandparents for Climate Action in WA. And with Neville is somebody else from the Canberra Cavalcade, not a cyclist, but a photographer. Welcome, Nancy.
Hello.
And you have just joined the operation, shall we call it, yeah, but are also a West Australian. Look, let's talk to start with, I know it's been good timing from the point of view of the local Extinction Rebellion people, because every Monday at this time, 11 to 12, they're outside the Santos building in the city on their campaign called Santos, We Are Watching You, and they simply stand on the footpath there. I've never managed to get there because I'm doing a radio show, but you were there just today. Did you speak, Neville?
Spoke briefly. I must say it was such a warm, enthusiastic crowd. I loved it. And when I spoke, I forgot all my lines. I was just overwhelmed, really.
Well,
they're
guess
doing
you
a great job.
I guess you weren't needing to convince anybody there of what you were doing or the importance of what you were doing.
Oh, true. I mean, we're birds of a feather. It makes you realise that it gives you a warm glow. When you come from the West, you come to the East and you meet such lovely people doing exactly the same sorts of things, fighting the same fights, and we will win. I hope.
you have the air of an old campaigner. I think you're probably not new to this story. And I did get a little word earlier on that in your professional life you were a senior academic in the physics area, so that gives you a bit of credibility.
Well,
you're not a rat bag.
I'm not a rat bag. A lot of people think I am, but just to correct, I wish I knew physics. No, I'm really human biology, looking at humankind, where we're going, what we've done wrong, where we might go next. A natural fit to the protests we're doing now.
Oh, interesting, interesting. When you say human biology, I would assume you'd be looking at the mechanics or the internal, but it sounds like you're interested in...
It's a lot broader. It's where we as a species are going, where we're hoping to go, why we're trying to get there. Personally, my own field was reproductive biology. I'm fascinated with human reproduction, but it's a natural to be going on into these sorts of things.
Indeed, you don't spend your life studying human beings and not have some concern about our future.
Look,
you wouldn't
absolutely
want us to disappear, would you?
It'd be terrible. it would be terrible. We're doing terrible things. That's the only thing we have to fix.
All right. And those things in your mind are quite specific, aren't they, really, as a West Australian?
Climate change is without doubt probably the most crucial thing we're looking at right now. We have to solve it. Western Australia is a disaster state in terms of climate change. We have a government who really has sold out to the fossil fuels. In our case, Woodside very largely. In your case, Santos. But we have to stop that. If we don't stop that, we're going to be just helping to cook the planet. And you probably also heard that we're also particularly worried about the Burra Pub, the Murujuga,
yes,
the beautiful Aboriginal art formations.
And that's a fight that's been going on for a long time, isn't it? The Burra Pub, tell me if I'm wrong, but as I understand it, it's an industrial hub to receive oil that has been or gas that has been taken from the ocean floor and then to be processed and exported from Burrup Hub, which is up near Exmouth.
It's way up north. And the real problem, we've got two real problems. The first real problem, I think, is the Aboriginal art collection, probably the oldest and best in the world, without shadow of doubt, and with enormous spiritual connection, that's being damaged. On a broader level, we're looking at immense amounts of gas being produced, and our government is allowing it to be produced until 2070, 50 years away. We'll be cooked by then. It's crazy.
Thank you, Roger Cook. And you did mention that you're concerned about our government. I guess you're talking about the West Australian government and the federal government.
Yeah, the federal government, I won't call it a disaster. It's better than the government before. Sorry, I'm apolitical, as you can hear. But without shadow of doubt, they're not doing anywhere near enough to really stop global warming. We all know we have to stop producing fossil fuels, and they still allow opening of new fields. Terrible.
Yes, it is pretty extraordinary, isn't it? What, as an apolitical person, no doubt you watched with interest when West Australia delivered such a resounding result for the ALP in 2022, and now we're looking at another federal election next year, and the federal ALP is pretty keen to get a repeat of that, but is interpreting the situation as that they need to also look after Woodside.
Yeah,
what are your thoughts?
We cannot understand why they're so trapped by Woodside. It's just unbelievable. I do understand the federal government has to try and make friends with everyone, but this is obvious. Allowing gas to be produced till 2070 is immoral. It'll be seen as a climate crime. It is a climate crime that must be stopped. And I think the federal government can do it. So our big message, as well as trying to stop the North West Shelf gas development, is please, please, over the next 6 months with all the elections coming up, vote one for climate action. That's our only hope.
Okay, I think we're going to have a short music break. I've got a couple of messages I have to play, and then we're going to come back and talk a bit more about what it means to be a grandparent. You're not young. You were not pretending to be young. Neither of us are going to pretend to be young. And I think there's something interesting going on with that whole movement, if you like, of older people, grandparents or not, stepping up to speak up. So let's hear this fun little song from a guy called Kimya Dawson.
I like my car. It's a really good car.
Back to the Canberra Cavalcade. I'll put those mics on again. I'm sitting here with Neville. Neville, I haven't got your family name.
Bruce.
Neville Bruce. Yeah. Good. And Nancy?
Miles Tweedy.
Nancy Miles Tweedy. Nancy has just joined the Cavalcade as a photographer, and she hasn't stopped snapping since she walked into the studio, really, but that's a lovely thing to see. Let's talk about this thing about grandparents. Now, you've got grandparents for climate action. We haven't got such a group in Adelaide, as far as I know, but we've got plenty of grandparents in Extinction Rebellion and in other places. So, and I went to the Newcastle blockade last year. It was extraordinary. One of the lovely things was seeing parents with babes in arms. The other lovely thing was seeing old couples walking around, holding each other up, really, as you know, leaning on each other, but there to be part of the protest of all. So you've been around a long time, Neville. I think you told me you're in your 80s.
Yeah, 81.
Yeah, 81.
Well, I left on my birthday.
Oh, good. Okay, you've made it to 81. Yeah. Great. Well done. And made it to Adelaide. And what are your thoughts about you know, our generation, born just after the Second World War, and some of the people I know have been long-time activists. Some of them are people who've just got motivated now and thought, I've got to do something. What are your thoughts when you look around and see so many older people taking such decisive action, gluing on, riding across the Nullarbor?
Yeah. Look, number one, I'm delighted, of course. But I think number two, is it's really interesting. I'm making contact with a lot of my old friends from uni, and they're very active too. And I find more and more people of our or my age group, you're a bit younger, are coming into this. I think we're realising, and particularly if we've got grandchildren, we love them, of course, and we love all the world's grandchildren. It's a natural way to think. And we haven't got much time left. So I think we're even more active, if anything. Yes,
because,
you're right.
Because we personally haven't got much time left, or because the planet hasn't got much time left?
I hope the planet does. I'm sure I don't. But, and I think also we do feel responsible that we allowed a lot of these things to happen, and we shouldn't have. And we're trying to make up for that to some extent. And we've got the time, and we've got the energy.
Well, you've got the energy, obviously. That is great. I'm going to ask you in a moment about Greenham Common, because there's a film screening coming up, and a lot of younger people, including even Nancy, who's, you know, younger than us, but, you know, you're not 20, I can tell that too, and hasn't heard about Greenham Common, and I think that's an extremely important story to share. But let's just first wrap up talking about this Canberra cavalcade. You've got to Adelaide. Your plans? Tell us about your plans.
Okay. Next stop is Melbourne. We'll be there in about 8 or 9 days. I've been told it's a fair bit uphill, but I'm hoping it'll be downhill. But we'll be there in 9 days.
You just have to get off across the Adelaide Hills, I think.
Very fortunately, one of the local members here is going to escort me out. Hopefully give me a little bit of a tow, but who knows?
That's really kind of him to do that. You could jump on a train, that's the other thing. But anyway.
I'm not very good at that.
Okay.
So we go to Melbourne and hopefully meet up with like-minded people there. Then ultimately, of course, is Canberra, where we want to try and contact all the politicians we can, including Labor, including Liberal. We doubt very much whether they'll see us. But what we're really hoping to do is meet up with the Greens, the Teals, and all the people who are going to work for climate change. And there are many, many of them. And we want to work with them, support them any way we can.
And in terms of support, sounds like you've been getting practical support here and meeting other like-minded people. What can people do? What else can people do to support you in your campaign?
We have a petition going, and quite a few people signed it this morning, which I'm very grateful to. But look, it's a bit hard to ask you to do more, but spread the word about Western Australia's gas. We know a lot about it. You are well aware of it. A lot of people aren't. We are the most polluting state in Australia in terms of CO2 production, and it's going to get worse. And somehow or other, we want everyone to put pressure on anyone you can think of, be it your local politician, be it federal, to just try and spread the message, this gas exploration and export must be phased down.
Interesting. It's you. So you're clearly ahead of everybody else. I'm just thinking the Northern Territory must, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on in the Northern Territory, but I suppose a lot of it's still anticipated to some extent rather than actually happening.
Look, I'm not trying to claim that we're better than them.
Maybe worse,
Better worse. Fracking, Beetaloo Basin, well, that applies to Santos. Yes, there are many other areas, but that Northwest Shelf is a particularly bad one. And what makes it doubly worse, as I mentioned before, their attempt to have exports until 2070. That's obscene. It's unconscionable. And we just ask the federal government, anybody who's listening to this, see what you can do to persuade the powers that be, that that must be stopped.
All right. Now let's talk about Greenham Common.
Yes.
Because when I mentioned it to you earlier on, you said that you had visited there. When was that? The Greenham Common, perhaps I should give the background for people who don't know. So we're talking about the 1981 was when it first began. There's a film which I'll tell you more about shortly, but it ran really right through till 1990, and it was a women's action basically against the Trident nuclear missiles, which were being housed there at Greenham Common. It sounds very innocuous, Greenham Common, but in fact it was a weapons base. Was a big deal. Really became well known in April 1983. About 70,000 protesters formed a 23-kilometre human chain from Greenham to Aldermaston, and Aldermaston, of course, had also been famous because that's where the campaign for nuclear disarmament marches had marched to in the 50s, I think, and that got huge publicity. Other peace camps got set up across Europe. In that same year of 1983, 50,000 women circled the base, held hands and circled the base, cut some of the bits of the fence, and there were hundreds of arrests. So that's kind of the bit of the context of civil disobedience story that must not die, really. And tell us about your experience.
Very minor, but we were living in England at the time, and I was originally more concerned about nuclear... Well, I still am obviously concerned about nuclear arms, but Greenham Common became famous. My wife is, I'd say, pro-women, and she and I really wanted to visit, and I'll never forget it. There was no one around. It was a little bit afterwards, but you could still see the fence. You could still feel the energy. It was a magnificent demonstration of people's power and women's power in particular.
And that fence became famous because there was a lot of decorating of the fence.
Yeah.
I remember seeing that. And, all right, I thought you might have been there at the time and seen all the 50,000.
Oh, I'd love to have.
Yes, wouldn't we? Yeah. The last missiles left the base in 1991. Because there was an intermediate range nuclear forces treaty, and the camp kept going until September 2000, apparently, because protesters then won the right to build a memorial on the site. So it's certainly a big and successful. It's not. We haven't got rid of nuclear weapons, but certainly I would say it's cooled down a lot, the fear of nuclear weapons, since you and I...
Yeah.
We're reaching adulthood, Neville.
I'm still very concerned. A couple of flashpoints might start it up again. But the way I see it, they're linked to climate change. That was a clear demonstration that people power had an effect. And to my mind, global heating is equally important. You can't really divide the two. But the fact that the nuclear disarmament group got so powerful and did such a good work tells me that I think we can do the same with climate change, but it will take a lot of effort.
Yes, and a lot of people and a lot of commitment. This is a new film, actually, released in 2021. I thought it must have been an older one. I've seen the flyers and the trailer for it. The film is showing this Thursday in Adelaide, this Thursday, September 19th, at the Joinery. That's the old Franklin Street bus depot. It starts at 5:30, runs through till 8:30, because at 5:30, if you make a donation, you can get a feed. And the film itself, as I said, was released in 2021. And the trailer suggests there's a lot of footage of women who were there, so there'd be some good stories, I think. The film is actually called Mothers of the Revolution, so sounds good. It's the screening is raising funds to help Tiny Tainanthi, who were the South Australian group involved in the Newcastle blockade of the coal port. Their aim is to get 200 South Australians to Newcastle in November. Last year, did I say 200 or 2,000? 200. 3,000 people last year from across Australia turned up, and this year the goal is 10,000 people, demanding that the government stops approving new fossil fuel projects and actually uses their powers to tax the profits from fossil fuel exports to fund a just transition to renewable energy. So there you go. I think the bookings are on Humanitix, probably on Humanitix, and yep, haven't got that written down here. Sorry about that. But 5:30 Thursday night at the Joinery. Look, Neville and Nancy, thank you so much for coming in. It's been a delight to meet you. Very impressed to cheer you on hugely in your mighty project to pedal all the way to Canberra, and the aim is to cycle back again. Is that right? What do you reckon? What do you think now when you've done nearly 3,000 k's?
I did have a thought of cycling back, but I'm afraid I'm a little bit too old. We are going to cycle back a short distance back in Western Australia and have a final attempt at changing our government's view.
Great. Okay, so you'll go to York or somewhere where you...
Something a little bit more moderate. You're quite right.
20 or 30 k's. But seriously, I am very impressed and moved by your commitment. And Nancy, involved in Extinction Rebellion Perth, WA?
I am.
Yes, yeah, good on you. You've made the journey to come over here and you're going to be part of the cavalcade and the support team.
Supporting Neville and documenting the quest.
Yes. Is there filming happening as well or just...
Just clips for social media. Oh, okay. Jane Hammond, the documentary filmmaker, will join on October the 6th and document Neville arriving in Canberra for her upcoming documentary called Browned Off. Ah. She's working on that right now.
Interesting. All right. Well, I better make sure that I keep... in the loop about Browned Off. And I'm going to have to say goodbye and thank you for listening to all of you. I'll be back next Monday morning, next Monday midday.